David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And today I'm very excited because we have our very, 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 very special guest today. It is Roger Knight, and he is part of our podcast community. He has a podcast on our channel. He is amazing, and he just has such great advice to help you and your business grow and elevate. And today, he has such a great topic that he wants to speak about today, and it's about visions, and it's about looking at the new year, our resolutions. How do we make our resolutions stick? 90% of the people who make resolutions, it doesn't work. But if we looked at resolutions and we had a vision and we took steps to actually go towards that vision, can we actually make that vision a reality? Can we make that resolution a profitable, a vision that will actually help us grow in the things that we want to do when it comes to our business, our work, and even in our active lives? So Roger, I think this is great. I love the idea of visions and in creating visions, you know, having to do with resolutions. Is it possible to actually, you know, take your resolution, turn it into a vision, and actually make that vision become a reality?
Almost certainly. So one of the things that I like to do at the beginning of every year, and honestly throughout the year, is really take a lot of the things that I'm thinking of, the thoughts that I have, the ideas that I'd like to implement, and turn them into goals. But to simply take a thought and make it into something that's a little bit more clear, that like a goal is something I can work towards, I need to actually do things to ensure that it's going to take place. And so a lot of people that are in that self-improvement mindset, they'll actually use what are called affirmations. They'll write things that they're trying to manifest. They're going to set goals. We can talk about SMART goals, for example, later. But around the new year, you hear about resolutions, like you've been saying. People will make this resolution to change something about their lives or work on in the new year something that's important to them. Well, one of the things that I have found is hugely helpful in taking the thoughts, the goals that you have, and really moving them to another level is this idea of a vision board. And the vision board basically takes and visualizes what it is that you're trying to accomplish in an image. And the reason why it's so powerful is your thoughts oftentimes take place as images. If you think about it for a moment, one of the things that everyone does when asked a question or thinking about things is you visualize. And at the subconscious level, that's what resonates. And so what we have to recognize is words do great, but pictures are worth a thousand words. So knowing that truth, what we want to do is find images that represent what we're striving for, what we're trying to do. And so hopefully today we can talk about why this matters, how it matters, and how we can leverage it to our benefit.
I would love to do that. You know, a lot of times when you see people make vision boards, you always see them make a circle, they have a goal in the middle, and then they have all the lines, and it's all words. It's all words. But I agree with you. When I see a vision and I have a vision in my head, I feel a sense of motivation. I feel a sense of energy. I get excitement because I'm looking at the future. I'm looking at what I really would like to accomplish, and it gets me excited. But it's a vision that I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about a bunch of words. And, you know, with a vision board, how would you actually, you know, how would you create that vision board? Like, and why would you use a vision board? Like, why a vision board? Why not just maybe create a journal and maybe stick pictures and some affirmations and stuff like that? Why is a vision board so important?
Well, it's a great question. I'm going to back up to the why as we start to answer this. The why is because thoughts become reality. You have to understand that what you think about, what you regularly spend your time diving into, are going to become a reality. And that's why it's powerful to understand the value of being an optimist versus a pessimist or perhaps even a realist. You've got to realize that the time you spend thinking about things perpetuates those things happening and recurring. And so what we want to do is dwell on those things that are positive and understanding thoughts become reality. I want to think about the things that I'd like to have happen in the future rather than dwelling on things in the past that I no longer have control over. So as I think about the future, what would I like to manifest and experience and accomplish? And so as I'm thinking about these things, I need to actually understand that the more clarity I have about what it is I'm trying to accomplish further ensures that it will actually take place. So in other words, the more clear I am as to what it is I'd like to achieve, the more likely it will happen. And so that's the first step in this is understanding how the psychology and how the mind works at the subconscious level. There's so much noise going on around us. There's a lot of things happening. Our subconscious, in order to try and manage that, helps us avoid things. And it says, this isn't important. This isn't something you need to pay attention to. This isn't something you need to be aware of. And as it's making our hearts run, helping our breathing take place, it's out there controlling these things at a subconscious level so that, oh, Roger said, this is something I need to pay attention to. And that's where I notice it. That's where you hear things of, and these stories are always prevalent. You didn't know anyone else had it, you buy it, and all of a sudden you start noticing everyone has it as well. Well, the only reason that's happened is because you've told your subconscious this is important. It was enough that I was going to buy it. I bought it. Now your mind is saying, oh, well, let me point out everyone else that has it as well. And you start to recognize these things. This is just a common element of how the mind works, and we're going to leverage it to our advantage as we have this conversation about now purposely using images to create a vision board.
I like that. And I especially like when you made the comment about, we can't really focus on the past. A lot of people, they focus on the failures they may have or things that didn't go exactly the way they wanted to, and they bring those negative emotions, those negative feelings into the present. And they're always looking at the negative issues, what they don't have and what they're not achieving and why they're not at this point or this level, and instead of really looking at, where they want to be at the end, the outcome. And
Yeah, you have to train your brain to be grateful and to notice the things around you that are opportunities rather than having a victim mindset and looking at all the things that you're missing out on and that you're lacking and dwelling on the things that you don't have control over. You have to train your brain to actually go through this process. And literally, there's a 28-day exercise I do with individuals to help them have a more gratitude-oriented mindset and see the opportunities and the blessings in their lives so that you can actually switch out of that mindset that you were just describing and really start to see yourself forward thinking as to how am I going to take advantage of the blessings I have in my life and leverage those to my benefit.
I like that a lot. Now, when it comes to being proactive, like this is a problem I see in a lot of people, is that a lot of people say, yes, I want to do this. I'm going to do this. Yes, this is where I want to accomplish. But then they don't do it. They have the motivation, or maybe they'll try a little bit. Let's say you have to send out 100 letters to 100 different people because you want it, and then follow through. And instead of sending out 100, they're like, they want that goal of getting these new clients, but they only send out maybe 10, out of the 100. And then, so how do you get people to be proactive? Now they looked at their vision, they want to get to that goal. How does that person, get that proactive where they're really have the energy and the view of really giving it the 100% or 300% that it needs?
First of all, it's this understanding that you either let life happen to you or you experience life. You purposely make things happen. That's the first thing is you have to recognize which are you going to go. You're going to wake up tomorrow. You will live this next week. The question is, are you going to live it at the expense of everyone else dictating what's going to happen to you? Or are you going to purposely do things? I'm going to set an alarm. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to do this and have activities that you're purposely doing. That's the first thing. Which type of life are you going to live? The second then moves to what you're talking about is living purposely with intent. And to do that, you have to have goals. And maybe in a moment we can talk about SMART goals. But the point is lots of people have the best of intentions. Like you were saying, I'm going to send out all these letters and I'm going to do this marketing. Well, the problem is a lot of these tasks become very overwhelming because they're so large. I've got to do something that's going to take hours of time, if not days or weeks of effort. What I need to do is chunk them down into small bite-sized pieces. Today, I don't need to send any letters. I just need to write the letter. What am I going to say in the letter? And if I'm able to take a moment and just write the letter, now I'm one step closer to having things done. Okay, I'm going to write the letter. Well, now I need an order. If I'm using your example of the letter, I need to go get the paper in the envelope so that I can print and prepare the letters. Okay, great. Now that I have the paper and the envelopes, I now need a list. Who am I sending? It's baby steps. The idea of I got to send out 1,000 letters might be daunting. Wow, that's a lot. I got to write it. I got to send it. I got to do all this. Okay, let's just back up. What's the letter? Just write the letter. And as you take things in your life, the big goals that you have and chunk them down into bite-sized pieces, these SMART goals become manageable. They become obtainable. They become things that you can check off. And a lot of us enjoy just checking things off. Today, I did something. It's done. And that's something that we can then feel emotionally good about.
That's so true. That's something I do. And actually, because a lot of times the day goes by so fast and you're like, what did I get done? But if you keep a little list of the things you did get done, it does. It puts a positive feeling in you. And oh, yes, I achieved this. I got this done. And the day wasn't a loss. It was, I got these things accomplished. Now, you mentioned about SMART goals. Exactly, for the people that aren't familiar with the term SMART goals, what are they? And can we use them to our benefit?
Yeah, it's a common phrase. It's an acronym. So, yeah, I'm glad we can kind of dive into this. It's really meant to represent some very key characteristics or elements that should be with every goal. The first is specific. I want to lose weight. What does that really mean? I want to lose a specific amount of weight. So I need to be specific as to either the number of pounds I'm going to lose, kilos I'm going to lose, or the weight I'm going to get to. So the more specific, the better. I'm going to lose how much each week, for example. Specific. The next is measurable. Quantifiable is very important. This, I worked harder, doesn't mean anything. Harder meaning what? I worked longer. I worked an hour longer. I did more. You've got to be able to measure what it is you did. And so work harder, work smarter, those things don't work. So we want to start with something specific and needs to be measurable. The next is we want to have action behind it. What clarity can I have as to what it is that needs to take place? The action basically says, I will be doing this. I want to lose weight. I want to lose 5 pounds. I want to lose it by the end of the month. And to do this, I will exercise an hour a day from 6 to 7 in the morning at this gym doing these exercises. It's actionable. I know I've got to get to the gym by 6 in the morning. I know I'm going to do these specific exercises. I'm going to be done at 7 o'clock. I'm doing this Monday through Friday. Those things are clear. Now they're actionable. Now, because they're actionable, I'm moving towards this specific goal that I have that's measurable. The last is realistic. I think a lot of times what we do is we have these grand ideas and they're oftentimes daunting, and we can become discouraged because we set too lofty a goal. SMART goals can be simple goals, just that milestone of today I'm going to write the letter. Tomorrow I'm going to put the letter in an envelope. I'm going to get a list. Okay, I've got my list. It's the measurable, realistic things that I can do rather than this big thing that I'm trying to accomplish. And then the last is time bound. By when? I said earlier with the losing of the weight by the end of the month. Okay, well, that's great. It's measurable. I've got a timeline that I'm going to be working on. I've got actionable things. So these SMART goals help us now intelligently work towards something because I've got a plan.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I like that. I like that a lot. Now, a lot of times I see like people who are struggling, especially, it's sad to say, but our society thrives off of negativity. And so when you can't be a pessimist, you have to really be positive. Because I feel like when you're positive, when you think, and that's the manifestation, good things start to happen when you start to really put it out to the universe, and you start to really think positive things, and you have that vision, and you start really, energizing yourself towards to a goal. And like you said, creating those SMART goals and breaking it down little by little so you don't overwhelm yourself. But if you have that pessimistic personality, or you might not be pessimistic, but there's a lot of things might not be going your way in your business, and you might be struggling or having a lot of stressful moments. How do you turn that around? Or is there anything that you tell your clients that will help them so they could actually see things in a better light and maybe change the whole atmosphere?
I'm so grateful you asked this because this is one of the daily struggles we all experience. It's just human nature. Now, you can be better at it than most, but it is a struggle nonetheless because life happens. We all have the best of intentions and life happens. I come to work with the intent of getting something done, and at the end of the day, I don't get it done because a lot of fires came up that particular day. So what we deal with is life. So I'm going to share with you a little narrative here. I'm glad you brought it up because I think this is a great place to share this. And then I'm going to answer how. Okay. So let me share this narrative to you. It basically is the tale of two wolves, and perhaps you've heard this before, and it says, an old Cherokee told his grandson, "My son, there is a battle between two wolves inside all of us. One is evil. It is anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, inferiority, lies, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, humility, kindness, empathy, and truth." The boy thought about it and asked, "Grandfather, which of the wolves win?" The old man quickly and quietly answered, "The one you feed. Whichever you dwell on is the one that's going to be magnified in your life. Whichever you dwell on is the one that's going to be enhanced, and it's going to taint the way you see things around you. It's the glasses you put on in the day that cause you to see things going on." What we need to understand is we need to come at life with, first of all, gratitude, and then secondly, with this optimism of, "This too shall pass. I can overcome. I'm not alone." And when you come at it with those types of things, you do better. So, one of the things that's very helpful is, who do you surround yourself with? We are the collective sum of the five people we surround ourselves and spend the most time with. Well, if we're around people that complain all the time and say things are not good, well, is there any wonder as to why we're frustrated and concerned and worried? When we're around people that are optimistic and positive and see things as opportunities, potential for growth, challenges that are enjoyed, this is a struggle I'm looking forward to doing because I'll be better because of it. That's a mindset that you're able to bring to any challenge that you're experiencing. So those are some of the things of how. Now, I'm going to end with one last one because some people do struggle with depression. Some people struggle with some of that mental security, the imposter syndromes, and so forth. So what I want to do is I want to, first of all, encourage you to have a break. You need to break away from these stresses and struggles you may be facing. You have to have a diversion, okay? That's very important. You have to have a diversion, whether it be a weekend, whether it be a vacation. You've got to be able to find your way of stepping away from the situation. The second thing is you've got to find ways to naturally release the endorphins in your body so that you can laugh and smile and enjoy things. And so what we've got to do is I like to do comedies, watch a movie. My daughter, she watches the sitcom Friends. She just finds that humorous. She has it on repeat. She watches it every day. Why? Because it causes her to laugh and chuckle, and that's huge because it releases those natural things that we're looking for in our body. But I'm going to end with one last thing. The thing that I would definitely want to suggest is you should not self-medicate. So often, what we find is rather than finding these positive diversions, finding ways to laugh and smile, is we self-medicate and suppress. And I definitely don't want to encourage that. I would rather encourage you to listen to a comedian. My wife right now is on Netflix going from comedian to comedian, comedian. She's just enjoying these things. And as she's doing so, it's just causing her to laugh and laugh. And that's one of the things that I would encourage you to consider doing.
And I have a question that just popped in my head as you were mentioning that there's so many business owners, entrepreneurs, and people in high level titles that have the problem where they have a hard time hanging up the coat. When they go home, they continue to work. On the weekends, their computer is on their lap. And it's so hard for them to just put that computer to just get away and to just let go. From your own experience, do you have any advice for people who just, even though they should be watching Friends or a comedy, how do you help them to just hang up the coat and say, this is my time?
All right. So first of all, guilty as charged. I love work. I love to do what I do. I struggle to find that stopping point. There's always more that can be done. It's just the nature of being the president of a company. So I do hear what you're saying. But that being said, I have learned that I need to be present. So I'm going to just share with you what I have learned about myself, and perhaps it very much applies to your question. And it's basically this. Whenever I find that I'm not present, when I'm distracted, when my mind is wandering, and I'm not able to be in the moment, I know that there's a problem in my life. There's something that needs attention. And it's either something of regret, something in my past that's not resolved that I need to give some attention to, something that I need to spend more time on, and I need to take care of it. Because if it doesn't get addressed, it will fester. When I'm present,
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I'm able to enjoy the moment. I'm able to smell the flowers. I'm able to enjoy the conversations. I'm able to be with my friends and family. But if I'm also looking towards the future, I'm planning in my mind something that I need to get prepared for. I'm not present because I'm not ready for something that's coming up. It tells me that the next thing I need to be doing is get ready. So anytime I find in my life that I'm in a situation where I cannot be present, that's my trigger that says, okay, something's out of whack. Something needs my attention. Now, I have gone to the point because of my scheduling and my calendaring and how I plan out my days that I am able to be present more often. So when I go home, I don't open the laptop. I do look at my phone. I'll do answer emails during a commercial or when I go to the restroom or whatever the case. I don't mind that. But when I sit down and I'm with my wife, when I'm visiting with my children, if I find that I'm spending time in the past or thinking about the future, I know I'm not where I need to be. And that tells me I need to spend some time on that thing so I can get it taken care of. So the next opportunity I have, I address that issue. It's no longer a concern. And now I can be present again in the things that I'm involved in.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I know you always say seeing is believing. So if we take all these steps and we apply them to our lives, you is there usually pro you'll probably see that change in your life. You'll probably see things start to really change for the better. You'll start to manifest more success. You'll start to let go of that stress level. You'll start to really put things together and have a little bit of a more stabilized business and home life too.
Yeah, these things all start to come together. What you're talking about is I take my passion that I have and I channel it into something clear, something specific. Now I identify goals that I need with it. But in addition to that, I want to visualize it. I need a visual representation of what that is so that I have something I'm working towards that has an image associated with it. Now, because I'm taking my passion and I've clearly identified what I'm working towards and I've got a visual representation of it, I can start establishing these clear goals and so forth. So that purpose is now channeled. And that's one of the things that I find is very helpful because now I'm productive. All these things that are going on, if there's noise, I can say, that's going to help me get towards my goal. That's not. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to deal with that. But that right there needs my attention. So I'm going to work on it because it'll get me closer to what I'm working towards. The other thing that happens, and this goes back full circle to what we started with as it relates to vision boards, you only have so much space on a board to put certain things. So you have to become picky. What are those things that I want to focus on as it relates to my personal well-being, my professional career, my business, my relationships with spouse or children, or maybe it's with my parents. It's all those things that I need to fit on the board. Well, I've got to be very particular as to, okay, what am I doing? And I put images up that represent, here are the things that I'm going to prioritize and emphasize, because this is a very important thing. you can only juggle so much.
Yep.
Some people can juggle two things, some four things, some six things. You have to understand how much you can handle before you start dropping things. At the moment you start dropping things, nothing's winning because you're failing. So what I want to do is I want to say there's something that has to give. In order to be successful, sacrifice has to happen. Something has to give. And you've got to be willing to set something down so you can focus on the thing that you've got in the air. And if you've got two things in the air and you're doing it well, wonderful. If you can do three, better yet. Four, wonderful. But many of us can only handle so many things. I would dare say three or four things is about as much as we can do as well as we would like. Otherwise, things start to be, sacrifice, things start getting maybe degraded, if you will. So, yeah, that's a very important point to consider.
Now, I know that you had mentioned to me that, if you think you're going to fail, you will fail. And so you have to really keep up. Positivity seems to be a very important aspect of this whole scenario that we just talked about, all these different steps of, making your resolution a reality, being positive throughout the whole thing, no matter what obstacles we endure, will get us through.
Yeah, so thoughts become reality. We started with that. Well, it's like driving a car. If you're thinking you're going to hit a tree and you're looking at the tree, no surprise you hit the tree because you're looking at the tree. Don't look at the tree, look at where you want to go. And so I think so often what happens is we get, these shiny things or we get distracted and we wonder why that became a priority or why that happened. Well, it's because you were dealing with it. You didn't push it out of the way. So what we need to focus on is thoughts do become reality. So stop thinking about these things. If you think you're going to get sick, you're going to get sick. I hate to tell you that, but that's just what's going to happen.
I agree with you. Now, when you keep your vision board, do you keep it in your office where you could see it, so every day that you have it, you know where your vision, you have that vision in front of you, so it's kind of like it's a reminder and also a motivator at the same time.
It's funny you bring this up. With the vision board, I just redesigned the area I'm in, and it used to be sitting right over here to the right of me. It's no longer there just because I pulled everything out and I'm reorganizing the room I'm in. But no, I actually am not one that puts it in a prominent place. There are people that do put it prominently in either their home, their office, it's not unheard of to put it on mirrors and so forth. I'm not that type, partly because my wife doesn't like the vision board. It doesn't go with the motif of the house. So it's not like she wants this what is it, like a collage of things over on the corner, like a preschool kid, right? I mean, as much as we love our kids art, I mean, it's not like we put it up like the artwork that we think it is. So anyways, no, I don't put it typically in a prominent place. However, I do put it in a place that I will see periodically, and it is something that astounds me because in my case, because I don't see it as often as some, I'm always amazed how well my subconscious remembers what's a focus. And it's like, oh my heavens, I forgot about that. And I've done it. I've done it. I've had instances where I've had my board, for example, I had one for a period of time that was in my garage. That's where it ended up, is in my garage. And I looked at it one time, and there were more than half of the things that I had accomplished or checked off. And I didn't realize it. It was purely at a subconscious level that I was able to achieve it because of the exercises, spending the hour or two in creating the vision board and spending the time about what it was. I really felt it got embedded in my mind. And the more and more I removed myself from it, the more surprised I was when I saw it again, what it was I had already accomplished. So yeah, no, I'm open to either thing, but I do encourage people to hang it up when they do theirs.
I love it. And I know a lot of people that do sticky notes. I know people that have like an office full of sticky notes, and it's hysterical because they'll be on a Zoom and you don't see the sticky notes, but around them they have the sticky notes all over the place.
Yeah, no, my wife's a sticky note person as well, so yes.
I think it's a girl thing. A lot of the women like that to do that.
And you can get different colors, you can put them in different organizations. Yeah, no, I get it, I get it.
Now, you have to be really committed. I think a lot of times people sometimes get either burnt out or they get tired and they fall off the bandwagon. Do you have any suggestions on how to stay committed and how to really stay focused and be able to, to not lose sight of that commitment, to have commitment ingrained in you where you really want to, I'm committed to this, I'm going to do it. Just like we talked about exercising and you had your schedule and you have your priorities straight. Are there any suggestions that you give to people that could help them stay committed and not give up?
I do. I've got two. One I usually share at the very end of this simply because of the vision board, but I'm going to tell it to you now and then I'll give you the second. When you're finished with the vision board and you've actually taken the time to create it, when you're finished, it's not enough to simply have it done. You do need to hang it somewhere, but the second thing is you have to share it with someone. And I encourage people to share it with two individuals that were not involved in the exercise, where you take at least one of the things on your vision board and you share with them what it represents and what it means to you. Because the image that you put there may not be obvious to someone else, what it represents, what it means, and so forth. So what you're going to do is you're basically going to say, this is my vision board, and this is something I'd like to talk to you about. And it may actually be relevant to them. It may actually impact them. And so you talk about it. And the reason for this is accountability. There's something that happens when other people know, because other people knowing means that the next time you run into that individual, it's not unlikely that they're going to say, hey, 2 months ago, you shared this with me. How's it going? What's come of it? What have you done? And the last thing in the world you want to say is, I've done nothing. I've not done anything at all. No, knowing that you're going to see this person at the next family reunion, the family party, the church meeting, the work office building, whatever, you're going to say, oh, he's going to ask what I've done. She's going to ask whether or not I've done this. Well, how's it coming? I've got to have an answer. So you know in the back of your mind, people are aware of what you're working on and they're going to hold you accountable. So for that very reason alone, you're more inclined to actually do the things that you've told yourself you want to do because now other people know. So that's a big part of it. The second thing is a quote here, and I want to read this to you, and I want you to consider this. It says, when we deal in generalities, we shall never succeed. When we deal in specifics, we shall rarely have a failure. When performance is measured, performance improves. When performance is measured and reported, the rate of performance accelerates. It's the fact that we're communicating with others. We're talking about it. We're telling them, hey, I told you 2 months ago I wanted to lose weight. Hey, just to give you an update, I've lost 5 pounds. When you're reporting it, specifics, and you have somebody that you're accountable to, that makes a big difference because you're not in a vacuum. You can't rationalize, you can't justify, you can't procrastinate. Why? Because somebody else knows. And so when you have that accountability, those things start to fade away, the procrastination, the rationalization. So there you go.
I like that. I like that a lot. And when you make this vision board, is there is it a can you just make a regular poster board type thing, or does it have to be like a vision board where it's erasable, or is there anything that you suggest, like your personalized vision board should be, how you should make it? Is there a specific way that you find effective?
So I'm not going to say there's a specific way. There's a general way that I do it only because it's easy. I'm doing a class next week with a number of people and we're going to be doing their vision board and I'll share with you how I do it with them. But to answer your question, no, it can be any way. I know people that are very, very artistic and they'll actually paint or draw or do things that are very involved. And I think that's quite nice. And I know other people, I know one person, he has a vision board that is very intricate. I mean, it's incredible. It's like a Da Vinci box where things are tied to one another with pins, and he's got pins with rings that go to things that explain things. He's got kind of a book of sorts that's kind of a key to how to read his vision board. It's very intricate, and he's had it for years, and he builds upon it. So, I mean, you can go to that level. Most people, it's more of a craft art. I mean, before when magazines were really common, it was typical to take and cut out of magazines pictures to represent things, and so it was more of a collage that you would find. The easiest thing that I have found, even still to today, is you can go down to a Hobby Lobby, a Walmart, a Target, and you can buy these posters. And they're basically frames that you would generally put like a poster inside. What I do is I take those frames and I turn over the paper that's on the inside. I turn it over, and that's the white side that I then use to put everything on. And then what I do is I put the frame back together, and it's now with a typically a plastic cover, kind of like a glass cover, a plastic cover that has this nice black frame or kind of a picture frame around it. And it looks well, but the point is inside of that, I've now been able to glue tape right on and create my vision board. And so that's generally how I use the tool, that picture, if you will, to create what I'm working with. Other people just take a poster board. I, for a number of years, just went down and at a hobby place, grabbed some poster board that you remember from junior high and high school, and I would just go with that. And so either way is fine. I like the frame now. The frame makes it, I think, a little bit more not official, but a little bit more professional, I guess,
Yeah, yeah,
more a
yeah.
little bit more asserted. So that's one of the things I do. But as for the board itself, let me just give you some quick ideas of what you can do.
Sure.
This isn't a you have to do it this way, but I found this effective when I'm teaching it. Is usually what I want to do is I want to take the board and divide it into two, three, or four quadrants. And with those quadrants, just focus on two, three, or four things in my life that I want to work on. A lot of times people will have themselves, like personal wellness, some goals that they have. Some will have relationships. Some will have like career goals. That's three quadrants. What's your
Yeah.
personal thing that you want to do? I want to read these books. I want to go on this vacation. I want to run this marathon. I want to buy this vehicle. I mean, those are personal things, right?
Yeah.
Relationships. I want to go on a family vacation. I want to go see my parents. It's just, on a relationship level, what do you want to do? Some people will put spiritual, some will put physical. I mean, it's just things on there. And then it's career. You've got this career section that says, I want to get certified in this. I want to launch this new product. I want to open this new store. I mean, it's just what career-wise that you want to do, business-wise you want to accomplish. And again, it's the images that represent these things that you're doing. And that's what you do. And some people will put in the center something that's very important for them, that is like the hub of their way of seeing life. And that's
Yeah.
one of the things that you can do to actually complement what you're experiencing.
I love that. I love that. Now, I always feel like language matters. Like, some people say, I can't. Well, don't say can't, say can. I shouldn't. You should, and then, it's sometimes like, if you think more positive and you take the can't or not, or, out of it, it seems like it, if you keep saying it to yourself, I can, I can, I can, you will.
You're right. Yes. If you can't, you're right. If you can, you're right. I believe you. Yeah. You have to understand self-talk. I think sometimes we're the worst person in our relationships because the self-doubt that we can bring into our own minds, this the way we talk to ourselves can be very cruel and very mean. And so if you're your worst contractor, you need to really consider what you're doing. You need to be your biggest cheerleader. You need to be the person that really stands up and says, "You can do this. I believe in you. This is something that you will accomplish." That is something that I think is hugely misunderstood or not spoken of enough, is how we self-talk.
Yeah, very powerful, very powerful. Now, from all those things we talked about today about making our resolutions a actual reality, is there anything else that you can think of that we could add to this conversation that might be beneficial, or we pretty much touched base on a lot of the things that we need to do?
Two things. One, just to wrap up the vision board, I highly encourage everyone to do that. I coincidentally have a free course where I cover all of these things and give instructions on how to do it and give some instructions on, best practices. So if that's something that people would like to take advantage of, you can go to universalaccounting.com and actually find there the vision board. An easier way to find it is go to uacourses.com, and there is a free resource section where the vision board is available. So definitely want to mention that. But the other thing I'd want to say, though, is for some people, the vision board is a little much. Resolutions is a bit much. Affirmations is a bit much. So I'd like to share with you a simpler version that some people find a little bit more bite size, and it's basically a bingo board. This is something my daughter does. She's amazing at it. It's a bingo board that you just create on the board squares of specific things you'd like to accomplish in a period of time, this month, this quarter, this year. And she put as the free spot her birthday. She's going to turn her age, so that was a free spot. She put her birthday right there, so birthday's free spot. But around it, she put various things that she would like to accomplish, and she put some difficult things and some easy things so that she can, throughout the year, just try and get these things done. And then as she gets something in a line, she's going to reward herself. And the big thing that you're looking for is hopefully by the end of the year, you're going to have blackout, the whole board covered. But that makes it fun. It makes it excitable. It's something manageable. It's a bingo board. She's got it
Yeah.
on her phone and she just kind of runs with it. So I love the bingo board philosophy. It's different than the vision board. Vision board is definitely more visual. I like it. It actually, I think, appeals to the subconscious and helps our mind stay focused on what matters because we created this vision board. But for some people, the bingo board is a great complement only because of the simplicity of it. It's easy. It's just a few things on the board that we're going to be working towards. You got that free spot on there or something that's a given, and off you go. And you just when you get something, like, you get a vertical line or a horizontal line, go reward yourself, go out to lunch, go get a drink, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, you're going to go for blackout before the end of the year.
Oh, I love that. That is awesome. I love that. Now, when if you had to take today's conversation and you really wanted to like emphasize on some important factors from what we talked about, is there anything that comes to mind that you'd like to emphasize to the listeners?
Thoughts become things. You've got to understand that at the end of the day, what you dwell upon, you will realize. The second thing is you've got to understand that if you self-talk that you can versus you can't, you're in a much better mindset. You've got to be optimistic. You've got to stay self-positive. You've got to be your own cheerleader. There should be no one a bigger advocate of you than you. And that's one of the things that I think we need to really emphasize. And so focus on that. And then the last thing I would definitely say is I put forth the challenge out there. Do a vision board. Find a way to actually take what you're striving for and give it clarity, give it purpose, give it intent. And with smart goals, find a way to actually have a path to achieving what you want. The biggest secret in this entire exercise is the more clear and specific your goal, the more likely it is you will achieve it. Period.
I like that. Yes, that's so true. So true. Now, can you tell everybody about the services that you provide?
Yeah, so Universal Accounting Center, I'm a president of a post-secondary school for accounting professionals. We work with individuals that are trying to enhance their career as it relates to accounting, bookkeeping, and tax. We also work with people that are starting and building successful bookkeeping, accounting, and tax businesses. We're essentially helping them build what I refer to as the premier accounting firm in their area. So if you'd like more information about that and a number of free resources that we offer to individuals and businesses, just go to universalaccounting.com, and there in the navigation, you'll find free resources, number of free things there that you can take advantage of, some free books, white papers, courses, like the vision board one I mentioned a moment ago. We have personal finance, we've got a couples course, we've got just a variety of things that really help the individual be that holistic individual that you'd like to be so that you can be well-rounded and, more importantly, accomplished in whatever you're striving to do.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, where can people find you?
You can find me a lot of places, but most people try to connect with me on LinkedIn. That's the preferred method. So just go to LinkedIn. You can find Roger Kinect there. It's just spell my name, Knecht, and then you're good to go.
I love it. This has been amazing. Thank you so much, Roger, for coming on the show. And
My pleasure.
it was just a ball of inspiration. It was very motivational, very inspirational, and a lot of great advice. A lot of great advice, because you tapped into a lot of different areas today. And I think a lot of these things that you talked about are things people struggle with consistently. And you gave such really great advice to help us, get over those issues. And having the vision board and knowing how to do it, I think is wonderful, thing to have, because it really helps you get to that, really see things and see the end of the rainbow and really give you a direction on how to get there. It keeps you in perspective.
I couldn't say it better. Live life with purpose and enjoy it. Let's make this
Yes.
the best year ever.
100%. Yes, indeed. Well, Roger, you have a great day. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You bet. And always remember, if it's about accounting, it is universal.
Yes, it is. Have a great day.